greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program. The True Jerusalem. Old or new, you choose this day who you'll serve. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh will come from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. You know, probably the most cause of the confused preaching is that the preachers are preaching that the Jews will return from all of the world to Jerusalem, and that they will fight for that city, and that there will be a great Jewish victory, and God will help them win the battle for old Jerusalem. Now, it's probably the source of confused preaching more than any other name, Jerusalem, from Scripture, except perhaps the word Jew itself. Jew is synonymous with the Jews, or the Hebrew people, that came from the tribe of Yehuda. They have shortened it down to Jew. If you are a Jew, they say, you're God's chosen. It's used a great many times by Christian ministers to mean the literal city of Jerusalem in Old Palestine. They say that God is going to restore the people, the Jews, to begin to set up his earthly kingdom from which Jewish missionaries will go out and preach the gospel all over the world and claim that Jerusalem is the city that will be chosen by Yahweh other than any other city in the earth. Now, a lot of people really believe that. They go visit that city. They want to see where Jesus walked. They want to hear the wisdom of the rabbis. I heard a rabbi this week. This is what prompted my message tonight on Glenn Beck. A rabbi and a preacher and a embassy worker was talking about glorifying the Jews, how that God had protected them, how that God was going to fight for Jerusalem, and the Jews was going to accept Christ when he come back. And the rabbi, he made a sort of a joke with Mr. Hagee, who said, well, me and the rabbi don't agree on who the Messiah is. I think it's Jesus Christ. And the rabbi laughed and he said, well, it doesn't matter. I just want to be with you if he does come back. And they had a big laugh about that. I'm afraid that some people are confused because of the preaching that comes from the ministers who are unable to separate historic biblical cities from the prophetic city of the Bible. They well prophesy about Babylon, since it's the actual city that was destroyed and doesn't exist anymore. Saddam was trying to build it back so he could fulfill that prophecy of Babylon. It never happened. And the Bible said it would remain barren and desolate, and it has. But they talk about Jerusalem. They're all fooled because the old city still exists and still carries its ancient name, and they assume that the prophetic Jerusalem must be to the old city of Jerusalem. Now, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 through 39, you read the words of the Messiah when he says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Now, can you hear the Jews calling on the name of Yahweh? I don't think so. For those who believe that the Jews will be all converted right before Judgment Day, don't really know what the Bible says. Now, let me give you a disbursement scripture that shows you the error of the teaching of the Zionist doctrine. And I've taught some on this. Notice this scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. That's not the Jews, is it? Israel and Jews are not the same. Although a Jew or a Judean could be considered a Hebrew, he's still never going to be an Israelite. Because the tribes or the houses, the two houses, were divided. Judah was not Israel, and Israel was not Judah. They were separate, but they had the same father. Notice this, again, verse 10, Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Now, do you believe that the Jews lived in Israel, the land of Israel? Of course they did, although they were only one-twelfth of Israel. They only represented one-twelfth of the equation. The other 11 equations are completely forgotten about. Therefore, the lost sheep figure very prominently in the equation that we're going to teach you tonight. The search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Old Jerusalem is not New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the prophetic city. Old Jerusalem is the place where they killed the prophets. They stoned those that were sent to teach them. Their house was left unto them desolate. They would not see him until the end when every eye shall see him. That's not mentioned there. But he said, you'll see me no more until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. It was a fulfillment of Passover when he came riding into the city on the 10th day, when they put up the lamb, and there they glorified him in a fulfillment of the scripture when they did acknowledge him coming into Old Jerusalem, who prophetically prophesied of New Jerusalem to come. It has a glorious future, the prophetic city, that old city, has a desolate ending. And folks, we're into the days when you're going to see this fulfilled. when people think that Old Jerusalem is a holy city, they've had 4,000 years of deception with 3 false religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all 3 fighting for a place in Old Jerusalem, while Israel has vacated never to return. Oh, you say, oh, but my preacher told me, Pastor Buddy, that the Jews are going to return from all over the world. When you see that, you know the end is nigh. Well, listen to what it says here. 10th verse of 2 Samuel of the 7th chapter. Listen well. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. Now, plant means they have to be replaced into another land. That they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before the time when they were moved never to return. Now remember that. Prophetically, the people that are going to regather is not Old Jerusalem, but New Jerusalem. Now remember this. Say this with me. Yahweh dwelleth not in a temple made with hands. There's not going to be a second building or a third temple, if you will, a physical stone and mortar temple built, except it be for deception. There's a lot of people that's going to be deceived. When you hear them quote scriptures that Jerusalem will be chosen and blessed of God. In the first chapter of the book of Zechariah, Zechariah is prophesying, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. Now, why would he return to Old Jerusalem when he didn't get any mercy when they killed him in Old Jerusalem? My house shall be built in it. Sounds like that he's going to build a physical temple, and that's not true. These are the wordings, and people are deceived, and Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Now, these are the scriptures that are used, and those who quote them say they mean that God will set up the temple, his house, at some future time in the old city of Jerusalem. But notice this. You got to consider these. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. My cities. Not city, my cities. Shall be spread abroad. Then comes that added on, and Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Since the phrase of spread abroad was spoken through Zechariah while he was in Old Palestine, does it mean other places other than Old Palestine where Christ was crucified, called Sodom? The Messiah, when he was here, gave indication that the cities of Israel would be great in number and cover a huge territory. In Matthew 10, he instructs the 12 disciples to go to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. As it's recorded in the first chapter, first verse of the book of James. Go to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, we know that the house of Israel was removed in 721 B.C., and in 586, the house of Yehuda, called Judah or Jews, that when Christ said he would send the preachers, his apostles, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verse 23, he says, "For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel." What cities was he talking about when he told them to go abroad? Is a New Jerusalem a collective city, prophetically, that will come down from God out of heaven instead of being here, and that God will come back to the old city of Jerusalem through the eastern gate has long been prophesied by the false prophets that have read Bibles that were written especially to convert the Christian preachers such as Mr. Hagee and other false prophets that teach that the Jews are God's chosen people, when that's not true. They will not define. They will not tell you that the lost cities of Israel belong to the lost sheep of Israel. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verse 23 again is that, "And I tell you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." The disciples could have gone over the towns in old Palestine in a matter of week or weeks. The missionaries still could do that today because, as Mr. Hagee said, well, Israel is as small as a postage stamp. But God will fight for her. Oh, really? When the Bible says it's a cage of ever-fouled spirit, when it's those of Sodom that have filled her belly and have killed her prophets, and destroyed those that were sent to her, and therefore your house is left unto you desolate. Now remember that Zechariah spoke to Israel, not only those in the Babylonian captivity, but to the millions of Israelites who were at that time in the Assyrian lands that never returned according to 1 Samuel. Or 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10, and never would return. Zechariah's prophecy above that I have mentioned was not fulfilled by the return of less than 45,000 of the Jews from Babylon under Ezra and Nehemiah. Jerusalem is that Yahweh shall yet choose is made clear by reading that the next verse says that it's a future. "I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line." Zechariah chapter 2, 1 through 4. "Then said I, what goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein." Now let me read that to you slowly again. "Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls." Now right now, the Jews are building walls to separate them from the Palestinians, who they came in and forced out their homes, took their homes and their land, and built a wall to keep those Palestinians, these thorns in their side, to keep them from coming back over. Now here we have a prophetic, Jerusalem shall be inhabited not as a city, wherein dwelleth Sodom, where Yahweh was crucified, according to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Look at it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. See what the heavenly ones say about Old Jerusalem in the Bible. It may be your favorite place, but according to the Bible, it's the favorite place of those of Sodom, those that killed the Messiah. It was full of liars, full of the seed of Cain. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns, plural, without walls. Now that's quite a description. Towns, plural. And many men and many cattle will be in it. At the Jerusalem of future prophecy, prophetic. It is so large, it took an angel to measure it. Because it had been spread abroad, as was prophesied in Zechariah 1:17. Just read the scripture. See, people overlook scriptures like this. In chapter 8 of Zechariah, and Zechariah really had a lot to say about prophetic Jerusalem. In verse 2 of chapter 8, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And so then, he says he will be in both Zion and Jerusalem. Zion is the seat of the government, and Jerusalem is the whole nation. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, many cities. And the mountain of Yahweh of hosts shall be the holy mount. That's similar to what we have in Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah 4, the mountain of Yahweh. And it'll help you understand the prophecy if you know that that mountain usually means nation. Michael said it. Isaiah said it, Zechariah and the other prophets, and Christ berated those who were running Jerusalem, O Jerusalem that killeth the prophets that I send to you. Your house is left unto you desolate. I will remove Israel, and they shall never return. Now, wait a minute. Why is the Christian preachers telling you that the Jews are God's chosen people, and they're the only ones, and they're going back to Old Jerusalem, where the Messiah was crucified, where they mistreated him, where they rejected the prophets and killed them before the Messiah, and killed him in like manner? Would they go back to a desolate, forsaken city, never to be renewed? Listen to this one in verse 7 of Zechariah 8. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will save my people. Now when he said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, go only, my people, go only to my people. Go only to my people. Don't go to the Gentiles. You say, well, that was, they sent them out to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He said, go not to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep. The lost sheep are not Gentiles, and the lost sheep are not Jews. Bring them from the east country and from the west country. I'll bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. What he's basically saying is, my people, Israel, the lost sheep, will be brought to a new Jerusalem, and they will be his people in truth. Is people hearing the truth today? No, it's filled with lies. And preachers confuse the old city with New Jerusalem. They try to make you believe that he's talking about the same one. If you take the prophecies and attempt to put them in a little place like old Palestine, you're in big trouble. It's not big enough. And those scriptures show that Yahweh will dwell there abroad. In towns, not towns, in towns without walls, the United States is the only the major place where this gathering is come. The proclamation of those from that came across the Caucasus Mountain, came into this new country, New Jerusalem, and right in the middle of the word Yahrusalem, not Jerusalem, it's why. A-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. Yahweh was telling you that this beautiful country that we've carved out as a Aryan, white, Adamite generation, we were warned to not give it over to these people that call themselves God's chosen people. That if we did, we would ruin this new Jerusalem just like they ruined old Jerusalem. Now, if you look at the statistics on the Jewish occupied area of old Jerusalem and Palestine, it'll show it's not a fitted size for a great multitude of people of towns. Jerusalem, as it was set aside by the United Nations in 1948, has 289 square miles. It's about 20 miles long and 15 miles wide. That would be about the size of Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona would be about its size. And yet here the prophecies are talking about towns of unwalled villages. The New Jerusalem. The entire country of Palestine was established by the UN mandate, was only 7,993 square miles. And since the 67 war, the area of control has increased. But even if they took control of the entire Arab countries, it would still be smaller than an average American state. Now, that's hardly fitting for Zechariah's prophecy that they try to cram this back down our throat, that it would be old Jerusalem where Yahweh was crucified, which is called Sodom, where he said, your house is left desolate to you, for I'll never send you back to, and once you leave, I'll never send you back there. According to 1 Samuel chapter 7, or 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Never will you return. Now, here's Yahweh talking to Jeremiah. The mistaken belief that God chose the old city of Jerusalem perpetually as the place where he would eternally place his name. But just like Shiloh, Yahweh's presence was conditional upon Israel obeying him. When they disobeyed, he thrust them out of the land. It made the covenant void. It's made plain in Jeremiah chapter 7 and in Jeremiah chapter 23 and 24. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house. That's the temple that they built in Jerusalem. And proclaim there this word. And say, Hear the word of Yahweh, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship me. So God gave Jeremiah a commandment to speak to all those who worshiped at the temple. In verse 3 through 10, he gives a promise that if they obey him, that they would dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. He knew that they wouldn't keep his commandments. But when Yahweh accused them of disobeying and breaking his covenant, here's what he said. Is this house, which is called by my name, has it become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it. Behold, I have seen it, said Yahweh. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and look at it and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. In verse 11 and 12. Then Yahweh pronounced the fate of the temple at Jerusalem. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, I will move from this place. It shall be desolate, just like Christ said, and you shall bear your sin. Now, in order to see what he done to Jerusalem, you've got to see what he done to Shiloh. Just going up there. The history of Shiloh is the place where Yahweh set his name at the first. Then it was moved to Jerusalem for their disobedience at Shiloh. You see that in Joshua chapter 18, verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation. And he promised, just as he did at Shiloh when he forsook that place, that he would forsake it again in Old Jerusalem and move Israel out never to return. Now, make him a liar. That continued for years. If you read in Judges 18 through 30 and 31, and the children of Dan, part of the house of Israel, set up graven images, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up, which is mentioned by Micah about the graven images, which he made. And all the time that the house of God, or the tabernacle, was in Shiloh, and for this, Yahweh forsook Shiloh. 1 Samuel. Listen to the story of Yahweh leaving Shiloh. If you think he didn't leave Old Jerusalem, you don't know anything about the Bible. Just as he was later to leave Jerusalem, by reading chapters 2 through 7 of 1 Samuel, let me just quote a few for the sake of time. And the story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. And the sons of Eli were the sons of Beniel. They knew not Yahweh, because of their abominations and their sins of Israel. And Yahweh appeared to Eli, among other things, and told him, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt not see an enemy in my habitation, the tabernacle of Shiloh. And this shall be a sign unto you that shall come upon thy two sons, and one day they shall both die. Then Yahweh proceeded to tell Eli that will happen to Shiloh, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. That was a reference to Samuel. Samuel was just a young child when he was taken in by Eli into the house of Yahweh, and he was reared at Shiloh. Samuel was an Ephraimite who was led to be the prophet to Israel. Then Yahweh set about to carry out his promise of punishment to Eli and removing himself from Shiloh. In the fourth chapter, the Philistines won a battle against Israel. And Israel made a decision, according to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath Yahweh smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh out of Shiloh. And when it cometh among us, it will save us from the land of our enemies. Instead of putting their trust in Yahweh, they put their trust in the physical ark that was broken by the promises of the fathers of Israel. Verse 10 and 11 gives you the result. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of Yahweh was taken, the final insult. And the house of Shiloh was abandoned, and the two sons of Eli were slain. Yahweh's promise that the enemy would possess his habitation, and that the sons of Eli would be slain in one day, came to pass. And when the news was brought to Eli, he was so shocked by the event that he fell over backwards and broke his neck. And Phinehas's widow was so shocked that her husband had died that she immediately, prematurely delivered her child. And she recognized the terrible disaster to Israel, and she gave the baby a name. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, or meaning, or interpreted, that the glory of Yahweh has departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and Yahweh departed from Shiloh. Now here he is promising those lying, scheming, traditional, covenant-breaking people that he had chosen when he placed his name under the leadership of David that he would desert that place. And chapter 7 shows that Yahweh gave Samuel rule over Israel, but he did not worship at Shiloh. For we read in verses 15 through 17, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, to Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places, typifying that later on that Yahweh would set up many cities to where he would be worshipped, not in building made with hands, but in the temple of those who had returned to him with a whole heart. In Psalm 78, David confirms it by saying, he forsook Shiloh. And when God heard of Israel's abominations, he was angry and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among them, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. And you think that he dwells, or he's going to come back to old Jerusalem? When he was talking about Jerusalem and Zion, he was talking about the glory of the temple within man. No longer will he ever dwell in a temple made by hand. Only the Antichrist, only the deceiver, only those who are the lying people that call themselves Jews, gathering up in the last day to deceive the very elect. Old Jerusalem will become a curse to all nations of the earth because of the three vying evil spirits that are vying for the advantage to rule Jerusalem. See, it's a power play by Satan. Jeremiah, again, is ordered by Yahweh to stand at the entrance to the temple, and once again he says, thus saith Yahweh, if you will not hearken to the words of my servant, the prophet, whom I have sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then I will make this house at Jerusalem like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all nations of the earth. This is a warning that the city and the promise of what the old city of Jerusalem will become in the future. And lo and behold, has it ever come to pass? And those who are trusting by this doctrine that is being preached in the Christian churches, that the Jews are going to return to Jerusalem, and God is going to come and build them a temple, and that he's going to come back, and he's going to convert all the Jews, and they're going to become missionaries, and they're going to go out and preach Jesus when donkeys fly. It ain't going to happen. Jeremiah 7. This house, which is called by my name, has become a den of robbers. It was followed by the promise to make it like Shiloh, and he did by confirming, therefore I leave this place to you desolate. I'm talking about the temple, he said, the time will come, 70 years later it prophetically fulfilled, that there will not be one stone upon the other that will not be torn down. Solomon's temple, which was rededicated by Herod the evil Edomite, which Yahweh said was a house of robbers, it's not true that the Judites believed that the name of Yahweh was too holy to be pronounced. That's Jewish Talmudic teaching, which has no place in our history and cannot be found in the Bible. What happened was that Judah, Samaria, Galilee, and the surrounding territories were conquered by Alexander the Great in 332 B.C., and during the virtually continuous occupation of Judah and Benjamin by the Greek and Roman empires, the temple rituals were either outlawed or restricted or controlled by the various kings and commanders of the two empires. The Greek or Roman gods were promoted, if you've ever read the Apocrypha, that is written in the original King James Bible, it tells you in the book of Maccabees how these evil ones come in and ruled and had a continuous occupation of Judah. Just like Yahweh said, he said, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, just as Israel didn't turn from their wicked ways, I abandoned Shiloh for Israel, where I first placed my name, and now I'm going to abandon Judah, the house of Judah, and I will send the bad figs back to Babylon, and the good figs I will send out of this land. And that's exactly what happened. Virtually the entire world of Jewish, Christian, and secular scholarships teach that Judaism is the controlling people of God's chosen choice. That is the Pharisees' invention of teaching. It's not the teaching of the prophet. On the contrary, one should always presume anything that a rabbi says to be a lie. Unless further investigation proves otherwise, the suppression of the holy name was begun by the Greeks, followed by the Romans, and then by the Pharisaic Jews under Herod. That's why that they will not say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh." You know why? Because they're not Yahweh's sheep. Only the sheep will hear his voice. Only the sheep will call upon his name. And whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved, if they understand who he is. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. Christ never went back to the temple. It was destroyed and burned to the ground in 70 A.D., and the temple became, just as he prophesied, as Shiloh. And Jerusalem became as Ichabod. The glory of Yahweh departed from that old physical city into the new Jerusalem, where he don't dwell in a building made with hands, but where he sits in the heart of his children, called by his name, who are standing up. Think about when you come out of the world, these denominations. They shall hate you for my name. And people that use this name contrary and speak against it would rather that they put a line or a cord around their neck and tie it to a millstone and jump into the ocean and take a chance of surviving. And these ministers who still insist that the Jews will rebuild the temple and God will bless it and God will set in it have seen a vain vision spoken by lying divination of these foolish preachers that have brought up this false Zionism doctrine and are going to deceive the very elect. Yes, they'll probably build them a temple in Old Jerusalem. Yes, a great prince will sit in it. He will be the one that Paul saw as the one that presented himself as Christ. And the Jews will support him, and they will worship him, because that's their father. Your father is the devil, and the works of your father you'll do. He was a liar from the very beginning, and abode in them, not in the truth. Solomon is estimated to have more than 15 million Israelites in his kingdom 2,500 years ago. And yet preachers today would have us to believe that less than a few million Jews in the world today constitute this multiplied seed that would fill up a temple in no time flat. We found out that Yahweh don't dwell in temples when Solomon made him a temple. And Yahweh came in and filled it in less than a heartbeat. And everybody that was standing in the temple had to run out of the temple, which shows you that Yahweh don't dwell in temples made by hands. He chased everybody out. And only the ones who are true in their heart. Yahweh dwells in the heart. Christ in you. But the devil is coming to deceive. And he will deceive the very elect if possible. This is a warning tonight to you to not fall for Satan's tricks, because there are many, and Satan is a deceiver. And if you follow the Messiah's instructions, after his resurrection, he said to his disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to cities and towns, which will be known as New Jerusalem, for I will plant my holy city in the midst of them. Were abroad, not back to that old place where these spirits of demons dwell, where these sodomites dwell. Ladies and gentlemen, the history is not too good if you're banking on old Jerusalem. History and scripture will verify that the disciples preached the gospel first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And where the Israelites had gone, they followed to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Are we going to go back to old Jerusalem and worship in a place that Yahweh tore down and said would become a Shiloh? Shiloh is no more. It was the chosen place. It was a holy place. He placed his ark there. And as long as Israel obeyed him, he blessed Shiloh. David moved the ark from Shiloh to Jerusalem, where he rebuilt at Zion the new temple. Yahweh departed that place, and when they bragged about how long it took them to build it, 40 years, he said, we've been restoring this temple. And the Messiah said, I'll tear it down in 3 days, and it'll never be inhabited again. Your house will be left unto you desolate until you acknowledge my name. Be not unequally yoked together with believers. And come out of her, my people. Israel has become the harlot. Go call your husband and come hither. Yahweh said to the woman, she said, I have no husband. And he said, you well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and thou whom thou hast now is not thy husband. This harlot woman, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy, running to and fro, making light of Yahweh's people. She's a harlot with many lovers. She went a whoring from under Yahweh and had her lovers. And everybody that makes love to her or goes to bed with her. And this is this spiritual Sodom that became old Jerusalem. It's a burdensome stone. And it's a grief to many nations. And we're coming to the end of the climatic thing where we're going to war over Jerusalem. You're going to see that Pastor Buddy is correct about my prophecy. She'll never prosper. She will build her a temple. It will not be Yahweh that sits in it. It will be Satan himself disguised. And the people, even the people of the faith, will be deceived. I've got to get out here. I've got to quit. Praise Yahweh. You're listening to Pastor Buddy. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, Sister Audrey, down in the great state of Mississippi. Brother Bud and Brother Edward. And Brother Paul at 1-800 253-273-2748. We're going to have a festival here beginning on the 15th of next month, the Passover, keeping it according to the word. People would rather eat ham than lamb. They'd rather worship Ishtar than to worship Yahweh. They'd rather call on Talmuz and weep for him than for Yahweh and remember him. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's what he said. And we still remember him. We know that the devil gets mad every year. Boy, he's roaring now. That's all right. Let him roar. The heathen imagine a vain thing. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And it's the same one that is going to sit down as it comes from heaven. It's that inward receiving. You got to open your heart, hear the word, let it fit itself into your body, your temple. You are the temple of the kingdom. Don't be fooled by old Jerusalem and the temple that Satan is going to build there. His city anyway, he might as well sit there. Praise Yahweh. Call me tonight. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Address your letters to Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. If you'd like to call me, take my number down. 423-351-1082. Come to the festival beginning next month on the 15th. We're still working on the chapel. We've been working all day on her, trying to get her ready, and I believe we'll make it. Brother Bob has arrived, and we picked up some steam. Praise Yahweh. When you know what you're doing, it makes things go a lot better. So Brother Bob is here, and he'll be here until the end of the festival. He'll be here over a month. He came early to provide his work free of charge, much expense. He's went out of his way to be here to offer. Other brothers have volunteered to donate their time and efforts to getting the temple ready, to dig the water lines, and to do all these things that we've done. Is amazing what generosity and charity people have showed us and their love. We appreciate it. We're just barely getting by. We need more money to build the deck. I just wish I had it and put the underpinning around it and plank some shrubbery and to make it possible. It would take $3,000 or $4,000 more. We've already asked for over right around $200,000 we're going to have invested in our property. Brother Pard, Brother Odell, and Sister Virginia, bless her heart, she's burying her mother tomorrow. Our prayers is with Miss Virginia and Brother Odell, one of our elders in the assembly. Sister Virginia is, well, she's chief cook and bottle washer, her and Sister Jan and Pat and Miss Connie and all those who volunteer in the kitchen and slave for these hard working Israelites that love to eat, and we love to assemble, and we love to study, and we like to pray. Come and join us for an old-fashioned foot washing on the 15th of May. That night we'll have an old-fashioned foot washing. The next day we'll kill the lamb, we'll prepare the meal, and we'll celebrate Passover. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night on WWCR around the world. On WWCR 4840, I'll see you then. Praise Yahweh.